For many people have been taught that the strongest aspect of their character is their will. But I would have you know that the strongest aspect of your character is your emotions. For you see, you can make a determination by your will that you're going to do something. But when your emotions begin to rise up in contradiction to the thing that you have decided, you typically give in to your emotions. Many of you in my body have declared and made grand decisions that you're going to pray more. You're going to get into my word more. You're going to spend time worshiping me more. And in your heart, you meant it. And by your will, you were determined. And yet, your emotions began to rise up, begin to produce feelings of boredom, distraction, and other things that stopped you. This is where the power of my life in you must become stronger than the power of your emotions. For you see, the power of my life in you can dictate the level to which your emotions can pull you down. However, the thing that it takes to develop the power of my life in you is the very thing that your emotions fight. It is a step of faith. Faith to believe that it's worth it to fight your emotions and force yourself to subdue them for the sake of spending time in my presence. But I tell you this, those who have done such a thing are going deeper and deeper into me. And throughout the history of my church, those who have done that, who have fought this fight of faith to subdue their emotions and continue to persevere in prayer and in worship, in fasting, in my word, even though they didn't feel like it, even though everything in them felt distracted and wanted to quit, when they have pressed through and continued, they have experienced those greater levels of my presence and my glory and my anointing. Your feelings cannot remain the governor for your life. If you truly want to know me and experience all that I have for you, trust me when I say, time spent with me causes you to be built up in your spirit. And you will become strong enough to overpower your emotions. The emotions will be there. They will always be there. They're a part of life in this world. But my life in you did not come from this world. Therefore, it is greater than the power of the emotions that would want to drag you down. So determine to spend time in my presence and fellowship with me and experience the spiritual growth that will result. And when you do, the day is going to come to where you are going to win more and more battles over the emotions, and you are going to continue to grow in me and experience an anointing and a glory that you have never known, says the Lord. There are various levels of the Christian walk, and I love everyone equally, no matter the level whereat they are walking. Number one, there are some who get born again and go not much further. Number two, some get born again and make a faithful effort to attend church on a regular basis, but there is not much true spiritual growth. Number three, some get born again, faithful attend church, but also spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer. They experience a very entry-level type of growth. Number four, some get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, but go no further. While this is an improvement, it is basically the same as number one. Number five, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and are faithful to their church. Again, this is an improvement, but these people are not much further along than those at number two. Number six, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are faithful to their church, and spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer. These people are making progress, but it is not as much as they think. Number 7, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are faithful to their church, and spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer, but they also spend time praying in the Spirit. These people are definitely making progress in their maturity. Number 8, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are faithful to their church, and spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer, but they diligently seek to spend time with me in my word, praying in the Spirit, worship, and fasting. Listen closely. This is the only group which is making the progress that I desire. Too many of my children living at levels 1 through 7 believe they are experiencing greater growth than what is truly happening. The growth they perceive is based on their emotions and not on what is happening on a spiritual level. I am your Father, I am a Spirit, and all of your growth and maturity is based in the realm of the Spirit. But most of my children have been trained to evaluate their spiritual progress by what they feel and think, not on what I have detailed in my word. In my word, I have laid out intimate details about what it takes to grow spiritually. I have detailed the process of growth, which will produce the fruit of growth. But many of my children are performing works that they call the fruit of growth, yet they have not first experienced the growth. Once again, in my word, I have explained what will be produced by genuine spiritual maturity. Did not my son say that you would know a tree by its fruit? But what I call the genuine fruit of spiritual growth and what most of my children call the genuine fruit of spiritual growth are not always the same things. I look at what is produced out of your spirit. You look at what is produced by your own efforts. As a result, many are doing good things in an effort to please me when what I really want is to work in you to conform you to the image of my son. People living at each of the 8 levels of spiritual growth are fighting the same battle when it comes to going deeper into me. The battle is not with sin, and it is not specifically with the devil. The battle you are all fighting is with your emotions. It is emotions, not sin, which will always be your greatest battle. You see, Satan, your enemy, cannot cause or give you emotions. He can only attack in the hope of influencing your emotions. Think about all the times you have decided you were finally going to get serious with me. You had made a 100% quality decision to pray, read my word, and maybe even fast or worship more than ever. This time it's going to be different, you said within yourself. This time I won't back off. But what happened? You know what happened. You did the same thing you've done over and over. You fell out of time with me. Then you began to ask questions. You wondered, what is wrong with you? Some of you have thought you have some kind of inner problem. You have beaten yourself up because you have repeatedly done the same thing you said you wouldn't do again. Some of you have justified your repeated failures by using the daily problems and conflicts you face as an excuse. But I would ask, why is it that everyone doesn't have the same problems and conflicts? If it were those problems and conflicts you face which have taken you out of prayer, why is it that not everyone facing similar problems are taken out of prayer? Why is it that some people aren't stopped with the same kinds of struggles? You see, it is not the problems you face, it is how your emotions respond to those problems. Your emotions tell you that you don't have time to pray, but I live outside of time and can show you that you do have time to pray. I can show you what you're missing. Some believe their family issues and responsibilities make it impossible to spend time with me. But again, I live above all of your problems, and I can show you those things to which your emotions have blinded you. While some Christians think the thing which prevents spiritual growth is sin, I tell you it is your emotions. Yes, sin hinders your progress with me. But why do you sin? It is because your emotions have convinced you that you will experience or obtain something to your gain by committing an act of sin. This is all described in my word in the book of James. Throughout your Christian life, you have been trained to respond to your emotions rather than my life in you. This is why it is so hard for many to be trained to be led by my life in you. This is why so many greatly criticize teachings about true meditation in my word, praying in the Spirit, fasting, and private worship. These things are designed to assist your spiritual growth, but the emotions are totally against doing any of these. It is easier to teach a doctrine founded on emotions because it is so universally received. Listen closely to what I am telling you. Your emotions will never be in agreement with your spirit concerning what it takes to grow spiritually. Did you hear me? I said never. Too many of you are waiting for your emotions to line up with what your spirit needs, but it will never happen. Because of this, most of my children take the emotional approach to spiritual growth, evaluating their spiritual progress by what they feel and think. If their emotions are appeased, they convince themselves that they have experienced spiritual growth. At times you may experience excitement over the progress in me you are anticipating as a result of prayer. But again, think about what has happened. The excitement has waned and you have stopped. I am telling you this to try and help you. If you know ahead of time that you are never going to force your emotions to agree with your spirit concerning spiritual maturity, then you can be prepared for the battle. Arm yourself with this thought. My emotions will never agree, therefore they must be subdued. There are times your emotions will fight prayer and time with me with such an intensity that you will feel like screaming, crying, cursing, or throwing up your hands and quitting. They will do everything to get you to do something else. But don't ever give in to the thought of, what's the use of trying? I'll never change. But I say you can change. This is why I am speaking these things to you now. Know ahead of time that your emotions will fight you over prayer, fasting, meditation in my word, and worship. Know ahead of time that you will on occasion feel miserable. This is all natural because your emotions are too founded on head knowledge, the things of this world, and man's form of self-achieving religion. Do not ever believe a teaching which implies that you can get to a point that you will never struggle with your emotions. Even my son fought emotions, but he did it victoriously by my life, power, and anointing in him. You can do the same. Accept the fact that your emotions are unstable and produce different feelings every day. Why do you think it is that some days you are in a good mood and some days in a bad mood? You are always going to fight your emotions. Sometimes the battle will be more intense than others. With this in mind, know also that you can overpower your emotions. I can help, but it is you which must force yourself to drive your emotions to their knees. You must force yourself into my presence no matter what you feel. Sometimes this will be easy. Other times it will feel like an all-out war. But the more you force yourself into my presence, the more of my life and peace you will experience. My peace will become a strength to you to fight the emotions. My peace will rise up from within your spirit and empower you to fight this ongoing fight. You will find it easier and easier to come to me and spend time in my presence, but the emotions will always be there to take you away. Because you have my life in you, you can do this. But the first step is to believe what I have said this day and not allow your emotions to dictate your actions. Until you do this, you will continue through life as you have for so many years. Today I am telling you how to experience change. Take me at my word. Act on my word and conform to the image of my son. In my presence is a wealth of wisdom, for I am a storehouse of wisdom. And I have said that if you lack wisdom, you can come to me and ask, and I will give it abundantly. I will pour out wisdom to you. It is because of this that there is no reason for my children to live daily in confusion. And the reason that my children live in confusion is because they haven't truly learned to come to me to ask for wisdom and to receive my wisdom. And remember, the wisdom that I give to you will be according to my perfect will. Therefore, as I impart my wisdom to you, be prepared for that wisdom to not always be exactly what you were hoping to hear. But I will give you the wisdom that will show you how to act, how to respond, how to plan for every situation of your life. Whether it's a family situation, financial, employment, it doesn't matter. I will give you the wisdom to know exactly what to do. And I tell you now that if you act on my wisdom, even though it might not be everything you were hoping to hear, my wisdom will lead you into the place of my greatest blessings. So come to me, ask for my wisdom, stay in my presence and receive it, and leave the confusion behind, and you'll know me, you'll experience my presence, and you'll understand my will better and better, says the Lord. I am coming in a way that most people do not expect. I am coming with a sword of judgment to judge the lies. The lies are those things preached in my name that do not come from me. The sword is my word, my truth. My sword of judgment will be wielded by those who have already been judged. These are people who have submitted to me by choice to have truth replace error. My word will be in their mouths as a two-edged sword. It will cut asunder the lies, exposing them for what they are. This does not mean that all of those who speak the lies will repent, turn from the lies, and embrace truth. It means they will have been judged for their lies so that when they stand before me, they will be fully accountable. This judgment will not typically be face-to-face confrontation. It will be those with my sword in their mouths speaking my truth, releasing my truth into the world. Those who will be judged will not just be the preachers and teachers. This judgment will be upon all my body who preach, teach, and repeat the lies. I will hold all accountable. This judgment is coming now because I have those in my body who are becoming equipped with my sword. The voices of truth are rising up as voices in a wilderness. The wilderness is the wasteland of churches living on lies and void of truth. It is the ministries spreading a desert of emptiness. The lies are like a mirage in a desert. The appearance is that of reality, but there is no genuine substance. Do not think that the judgment will result in destruction or devastation in the lives and ministries of those who speak the lies. I am a God of mercy and grace. I will not bring about their destruction, but will allow the anointing of my truth to confront them. I want them to have plenty of time to pray and repent, even though many will not turn from lies to truth. Do not be discouraged as you speak truth. Not everyone will hear you, and many will openly oppose you. Be strong in me, for their words will not harm you. One of the things my truth released will do is expose the condition of the heart. A hardened heart, even though clothed in kindness, is still hardened. Speak my word, speak my truth, for I will be with you, says the Lord. Just as in a relationship between a husband and wife, so is your relationship with me. For as my servant Paul wrote, the relationship between the husband and wife is to be symbolic of the relationship you're to have with me. In a relationship with a spouse, you first meet. And then over time, as you're together, experiencing each other's presence, your love growing deeper, you learn to trust that other person. At first, you don't trust that person as much as you will later on, because you grow not only in your love, but also in your trust. It's the same with me. There are many of you who have met me. You know me as Jesus, the risen Son of God, the one in whom you placed your faith to be born again. But you haven't learned to trust me. You haven't grown in that aspect of your relationship with me. Because you see, the more that you learn to trust me, the less you are going to worry. If you examine your life and you see yourself worried, greatly concerned, upset about different things that arise, about certain areas of your life, things that don't seem to get resolved, then you haven't learned how to really trust me. Because you see, the more you learn to trust me is the more you will understand my peace. And I have said that my peace, which is perfect, it will cast out all fear. So I want to encourage you this day. Think closely about your life in me and how much you really trust me. Trust my wisdom. Trust my ability to bring about a resolution and answers to all of your problems. Think about how much you really trust me. For you see, I am used to people not trusting me, to my brothers and sisters not trusting me. But I say unto you that if you will make a diligent effort to begin trusting me in everything, then you will begin to see me move in everything. For I love you, and I am concerned about every aspect of your life. And I can bring about my will. I can bring about an answer, a resolution to problems that you face. But you must trust me. You must trust that I truly know what I am doing, that I truly know what I am saying when I minister to you. So learn to trust me and learn to experience the fullness of everything that I can be to you, says the Lord. For many things have been said about my love, and many things have been said about me. There's one thing that I would have you know this day. You can never outrun my love. You can never get so far away from me that I don't love you. Many people have said things about my love and about the way that I demonstrate my love that break my heart. I've been accused of doing many things to my children because I love them. Please believe me when I tell you that I do not demonstrate my love by putting sickness upon your body or by bringing disaster into your life or by killing your family members. That is not me. That is not how I operate. I demonstrate my love by healing your bodies. I demonstrate my love by meeting your need. I demonstrate my love by delivering you from disaster. And yet many people believe that when bad things happen in their lives and to their family members, that I'm doing it because I love you. Now you must understand, my love operates differently than love you experience here on the earth. And when people begin to teach these things about me that are wrong and about my love that are wrong, it's because they're trying to grasp and understand and define my love according to standards they've seen demonstrated here in this world. But the standards demonstrated in this world are imperfect and they are corrupt. But my love is perfect. It is incorrupt. It is holy. It is eternal. No matter what you do, no matter what your past, I love you. Have I not said in my word that I am love? Therefore, I cannot help but love you, and I cannot help but do anything other than to demonstrate this perfect, holy love to you. If you will read my word, you will get a greater revelation of my love. If you will spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will get a greater revelation of my love. If you will take the time to worship me, you will get a greater revelation of my love. For I want you to know my love. And I want you to know the fullness of my love and how my love works and how my love is demonstrated. So I plead with you this day. Stop looking at man's definitions of my love. Stop looking at the way that religious doctrines have perverted the meaning of my love. And come to me and let me explain my love. Come to me and let me demonstrate my love. Get in my word and grasp a greater meaning of my love. I love you, and you will never be able to change that. I love you with an eternal love that only seeks to bring about the fullness of my presence in your life. Satan is the one who hates you. I am the one who loves you. So hear me this day. No matter what you've done, no matter what your past, I love you. And it is out of that love that I am willing to take you by the hand right where you are and lead you further into my presence. I will never do you wrong. And I will never turn my back on you, says the Lord. The Lord wants you to know that you don't have to feel like you're totally defeated. The victory that Jesus won is the victory that's been given to you. And you have the ability to live in the fullness of this victory. You need to start thinking victoriously. Start thinking as though you have victory over everything that would try to stop you. Start seeing yourself as a conquering hero when these things begin to come at you to try to pull you back in, no matter what it would be. See yourself clothed in armor of glory, standing over these things, dominating them, refusing to allow them to rise up to capture portions of your life. Wield the sword of God's power and truth and exercise and apply the victory that God has given to you through Jesus. And the Lord says, when you do this, you will live victoriously in every area of your life, and you will realize that there is nothing that can hold you back. My heart is touched by the compassion you allow to flow through you from my throne. I am love, and my love is so misunderstood by my children. My love is spiritual in nature and origin, which is why human thinking cannot understand how it operates. It is only by interacting with me spiritually that you can begin to understand my love and its depths. Have I not said that the Holy Spirit will shed my love abroad in your heart? By praying in the Spirit, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to give your spirit the knowledge and understanding of my love. It is a spiritual revelation that can then be transferred to your mental comprehension. Too many try to define my love with their understanding of love arrived at from their experiences with others and their relationships with people. My love is far beyond that. Even lost people can experience the great depths of human love. But my love cannot be fully experienced or known based on human capacity. My love is based on limitless spiritual capacity. To those who continually yield themselves to my spirit, I will be able to reveal and explain my love in a way they have never known. The joy that comes with my love is unspeakable and full of my glory. For the mind of man has never been able to understand me. The mind of man has never been able to comprehend my ways. That's because the mind of man operates at a level that is far beneath the way my mind operates. And yet I am willing to share my thoughts with you. I am willing to share with you those things which dwell in my heart and in my mind. For I do not keep myself from you, I make myself available to you. But because man's mind cannot comprehend the operation of the mind of pure deity, man has come up with many different ways to explain everything about life. And the problem in my church is that so many of my children have chosen to listen to the mind of man and embrace those thoughts and ways of thinking. And because of that, it has kept you far beneath and far below what you truly could have in me. For I have declared in my word that all things that I have are yours, that I freely give them to you through my Son, Jesus. So I would challenge you to allow me to begin to impart to you my way of thinking, because when you allow me to do this, you're going to begin to accept what I have said. And I have said that healing is yours. I have said that peace is yours. I have said that joy is yours. I have said that restoration and deliverance is yours. I have said that all things belong to you. So let me impart to you the wisdom of the ages. Let me impart to you my way of thinking, my thoughts. Let me do this in you. And you will see beyond the veil of the flesh. You will see beyond the veil of man's way of thinking. And you will begin to rise above the things in your life that have interfered with your walk with me. And you will live as a conqueror, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the greatest strongholds I see in my children concerns their religion and what they believe. For many of them, I have more difficulty getting them to purge themselves of wrong belief than I do getting them to purge bad habits. The reason for this is because the majority of my children think their bad habits are worse than wrong belief. This is why basically none of them are concerned with what they believe, because they are convinced that what they believe is correct. It is harder for me to get my children out of the wrong church and into the right one than it is for me to get them to quit smoking or drinking or some other wrong behavior. The reason is that they can see outwardly the smoking, drinking, and other things, but they cannot see inwardly what the wrong teaching has done to them over the years. But just as bad physical habits can have destructive effects on the physical body, bad doctrine can have destructive effects on the spiritual body. Over the years, they have allowed themselves to be taken captive by the strongholds of the imaginations that they must stay in their present church. They are shackled in chains of wrong thinking concerning why they must stay where they are. Their hearts have become clouded, and they do not discern what I am trying to do in their lives. Too many of them feel a sense of obligation to a church because they are a teacher, a choir member, a staff member, because they have been there for a long time, or because so many of their friends or family attend the church. But why would I put a person in a church and obligate them to serve where I do not want them? They fail to understand that their greatest obligation is to serve me, not a church. Listen closely to my words. I will not put my blessing on anything a pastor says which does not line up with my word. How much longer are you going to kneel to the stronghold instead of kneeling to me? Obey me and do what I say. Let me take you from the place that to you seems right and plant you in the place that is right. Do not worry about how it will look to others. Do not worry about what people will say. Do not worry about what you think will cause strife. Do not worry about how much further you may have to drive. I am God. And I can work all of these things out and provide for your every need. Obey me and leave where I do not want you. Let me purge you of this stronghold. Become the exception in my kingdom, one of the few who places obedience to me in this area to be of more value than feeling comfortable. You are stagnating spiritually in a place which is not feeding you the fullness of truth I desire.
obey me, and I will take you to a spiritual oasis flowing with living water, greater anointing and truth, a place which is a key in you fulfilling all I have called you to accomplish in this world, says the Lord.
The Lord says, pain is not my classroom. For who can learn in pain? Does not pain cloud your judgment? Does not pain, if it's severe, make you desperate? Who can learn in the midst of pain? And yet, I am accused of putting pain upon people's bodies to teach them something. Have you ever stopped to consider the fallacy of such a belief? Pain is not my classroom. For you see, when you enter into my classroom, you are entering into my presence, and in my presence there is fullness of joy. And yet, if there is pain present, there cannot be fullness of joy. I do not inflict pain on you to teach you anything. I want you to come to my presence and learn of your healing, your deliverance from pain. That's what I want you to learn. Come, when you come to my presence, my teacher is not pain. My teacher is my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit will not put pain on your body to teach you something. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no pain in the fullness of my presence. For the fullness of my presence will drive these things out. Does not my word say that I anointed my son with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil? So hear me. Pain is not my teacher. Pain is not my classroom. My classroom is filled with my presence, and my Holy Spirit is your teacher. Learn these things of me. For most of my church is shackled with unbelief, shackled with wrong doctrine. And the whole time, they are so convinced they are right. And in some cases, so convinced they're right to the point they refuse to listen to truth. So I say again to you this day, pain is not that which I use to teach. And pain is not in my classroom. In my classroom is peace, joy, my presence, my glory. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has been sent to teach you. So throw off those old beliefs. Hold to them no more. And accept my truth. For my son has said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So take heed to my words. Let them sink deeply into your heart. Let them change your life, says the Lord. The struggles in your home have more to do with demonic powers than what you realize. And you need to go home and take authority over these things. And you need to continue fighting this battle in the realm of the Spirit. Because through no total fault of your own, demonic forces have gained access. And you need to go home and you need to exert authority. And if you need to do it alone when no one else is there, then you need to do that. You need to go into the rooms that are occupied by your family members and declare the name of my son Jesus. You need to speak to the demonic powers that have invaded your place. You need to take authority and don't stop. Remember, I won the victory through my son Jesus. and pass it on to you through my son Jesus. You have God victory residing on the inside of you right now, and you have God authority residing on the inside of you right now. Authority to overpower and drive out demonic entities. There are too many of my Christians who put up with problems that are demonic in nature and never deal with it. And so I share with you this evening that problems many of you are encountering in your home are a direct result of demonic attack. So I say to you, go home. Go into the rooms. Speak to these powers, to these authorities, to these demons. Speak to them. Address them in the name of my son Jesus. Command them to leave as did my son Jesus. Some of these demonic powers are stronger than others. For the hierarchy of Satan's kingdom is revealed in my word. But I say to you, exercise the authority that I have given to you. Speak to these things and drive them out. Do this and keep fighting this way and do not let Satan get the upper hand. There are those of you who have witnessed children that seemed to be on the right path and then all of a sudden it was like they changed overnight. This isn't because of their hormones. This isn't simply because of the people they are hanging around. Whenever you see a sudden change that happens, a change that takes place very, very quickly in an individual, there is a demonic power at work. So I say to you, take authority over it. Don't be afraid. Remember, I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. So I will be there with you, and I will help you. Take authority. Drive these things out of your home. Even if no one else in your home believes this way, I won't alter my word to satisfy their unbelief. What I have said stands. So therefore, you can do this. Win this victory. Exercise the authority. Fight this fight. It may take you some time of addressing these things, because in some cases, they have set up a powerful stronghold in your home. Keep bombarding with my word. Keep bombarding with the name of my son. Keep bombarding with worship, creating a holy atmosphere that causes them to be highly uncomfortable. If you'll do this and not stop, you will reclaim the territory that Satan has tried to steal. And you will see victory manifest in your home, says the Lord. For I've said in my word that my glory would fill this earth. What many people do not understand is that my glory is a holy glory. Far too many in my church equate my glory with nothing but power, nothing but feeling my presence. But you need to understand that my glory is a holy glory. Now what that means is that my glory and my holiness cannot be separated. When you enter into the presence of my glory, you are entering into the presence of my holiness. You see, my word says that my church is to be without spot or blemish. And while my church is crying out for my glory to be released in increasing measure, what they don't anticipate is that my holiness is being released in equal measure. And this is bringing about conviction. It's bringing about judgment. Where you see, if the judgment is not released within the holiness that contains it,
then how can my church be purged from the spots and the blemishes? There's so much about me that my church does not understand. And you've heard prophecies and preachings that my glory is being released in greater fashion in these last days. And those words are true. It is. But my holiness is also being released in the same way. And here is the challenge. There are many who are seeking the glory, but they do not want the holiness. But as you reject the holiness, you are also rejecting the fullness of my glory. Because you cannot choose how much of me you want. For I do not separate or divide myself unto you. I give you all of me. This is one of the main reasons why my power has not been demonstrated in churches as revealed in the book of Acts. It's because so many in my church want my glory, want my power, but they don't want my holiness. So listen closely. In these days, more and more of my people are pressing into me, and they are experiencing the glory and the holiness, and they're welcoming both. And because of that, an anointing is being released through them that is an anointing of glory, but it is also an anointing of holiness and an anointing of judgment. For did I not say that in the last days all of these things would happen? And they are happening. You are in the beginning stages, the very beginning stages of what is to come. It is going to be gradual, this release of glory, this release of holiness. And the judgment will be gradual, for many will have a time to repent. But do not think that the judgment is not taking place, because you see, the judgment cannot be separated from the holiness, like the holiness cannot be separated from the glory. So it is all happening before your very eyes. My word to you, seek me first. Let me work my glory in you. Let me work my holiness in you. Together, you and I, let's work the judgment. Let's purge what needs to be purged. Let's get rid of the spots and the blemishes so that I can use you in the fullness of my desire in the same way that I used my son, Jesus. So give heed to these words. These are words of love. These are words of correction and rebuke because I love you, but they're words of instruction and direction so you will know what is coming, what to prepare for, what to look for, as I begin to move, says the Lord. The day is soon approaching. In fact, even now, the preparations are being made in the Spirit. For an unparalleled release of spiritual knowledge. For I have those in my church, my body, who have prayed themselves into a position, a place where knowledge and wisdom reside. Knowledge of things in my word and understanding of things in my word, things that have not been taught. But because they're contained in my word, they were already released to man. But you see, the understanding of so much of my word
has been lost over the centuries. And what is getting ready to be released is an understanding of verses, scriptures, passages that have been buried for centuries. Those to whom I originally gave this information, they understood it. But as I said in my word, you'll know the truth will make you free. The more of my truth that you understand is the more of your freedom you'll walk in. And I would say to you this night, prepare yourselves. For I have a small handful of voices in this world that have prayed and sought me and been raised up beyond ceilings of the flesh into a spiritual place where no one has touched for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. There is going to be a wave of teaching sweep through my body, and it is going to be highly criticized by many. As this wave of revelation of truth and understanding begins to be released, Satan is going to work very hard to counteract it by releasing counterfeit truth. A twisting of scripture. And there are going to be many who are going to turn to the new revelation that Satan will be releasing. And this is why you must increasingly prepare yourself spiritually through time with me, so that you'll be able to discern the difference between the false and the true. For did I not say in my word that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived? But I have that small handful who have prayed themselves into a level with me where I have not been visited for so long. And in that place are the riches of wisdom and knowledge and understanding concerning my word. And they are going to receive things from me that I have not been able to give for so long. And the reason I've not been able to give it is because there are so many, too many, in my body who would use revelation knowledge that I release as a way for personal gain. And that is something of which I do not approve. And so I have had to wait until this small group has prayed themselves into this place with me, to where their flesh has been mortified, crucified, so that they won't use what I give them as a way to sell their tapes and books and recordings and demand great offerings and honorariums to come and preach. These are people that have prayed themselves past the lust of the flesh and won't be corrupted in those areas. And so I'm going to begin to release this information, this knowledge, a teaching of my word. Because there are things in my word that have confounded many for so long, and yet once this information is released, it is going to be so obvious. Many will sit back and hear it and say, how come I didn't see that? It's so simple. But you see, just like it takes anointing to move in power, it takes anointing to move in truth. And so there are those who have prayed themselves into that place to receive this teaching from me, to receive this instruction, and it has begun. And there are things that are going to be released in the days to come that are going to surprise some people.
And as I said, some will reject this truth. There are those in my body who are out of place with me spiritually to where they should receive this and walk in it once it's taught to them. But they're going to reject the voices that I will be raising up to speak for me. And it's going to be like the army that Gideon put together. Slowly but surely, it is reduced from the tens of thousands to the few hundred. There are those in my body who will not turn away from me. They're not going to walk away from my son. But they are going to reject this truth that is released, because this truth will expose more of the religion that they have held to. It is a purging process. And so I am saying this to you this night to prepare you for what is coming, and to encourage you to spend time with me, spend time in my word, spend time praying in the Spirit, so that the anointing that abides within can be released in greater measure to guard your heart and mind against those who would seduce you, so that you won't fall into the traps that will sound so very good, and you will be able to discern what is true from what is false. And I would say to you this night, there are those of you in this room that within the last year, you have opened your heart and opened your mind to voices who spoke words that did not originate with me. They have spoken things into your life that were birthed out of the flesh and out of emotion, not out of truth. You have been dented by these words. And I say dented because their words did not fully penetrate into your heart to totally corrupt your life. But nevertheless, they did make an impact. However, if you continue to pray and seek my face, this will be totally and completely corrected. Now, the reason I said that is because many voices that you have trusted over the years, be very cautious. For you see, not everyone who seems to be trustworthy is trustworthy. It isn't that I don't love them, and it isn't that they aren't born again. It's that they are not pressing deeper into me and higher into me to greater levels of truth and revelation of understanding. So give heed to these words tonight and be prepared in your heart, for this release has begun and it is going to increase. And the more those voices, the voices of the ones who have prayed themselves into this place with me, the more they pray, the more they continue to seek me, they are going to become fat with my glory. A spiritual fatness that is my intention. They are going to become great and mighty in the Spirit. Very large in the Spirit. But they will not be corrupted by pride. They will live and walk in humbleness unto me. Days are coming, and it's going to be very exciting for those who have ears to hear and will stay true to me in my presence and in my word for the full confirmation of truth that's being released. So take these words to heart. Don't dismiss them. Prepare yourself spiritually and look forward with great excitement for what is about to happen, says the Lord. The Lord says the hurts of your past can in no way compare to the joy that is about to enter into your life. If you will continue to seek me, I am going to be able to release into you a healing joy
It's a joy that's going to heal the old wounds on the inside. It's a joy that is going to be so powerful, so healing, and so cleansing that the things that hurt so badly, you'll still remember those things, but you will forget the depth of the pain that they caused in your life. For I have said in my word that I am the God that healeth thee. And that healing is not just physical healing, but it's also in the area of the emotions. Yes, people have let you down, and some very difficult things have happened. And you've felt some frustration because you weren't able to fix it all. But I want you to know that I never called you to fix everything. I'm the one who fixes what people will allow me to fix. And so I say to you, just keep seeking me, and my joy, my healing and my strengthening and my cleansing joy is going to be released into you. And it's going to touch you in those areas. Some of the wounds, you've kind of kept them hidden. Haven't talked about them much, if at all, to other people. But they're there. There have been times where you've laid in your bed at night and you've thought about these things. And at times it's almost like those thoughts, those feelings tried to overwhelm. I've seen that and I've known it. And that was a burden you were never meant to carry. You see, experiences are experiences. They only become a burden if you allow it. But I am here to minister to you. So keep seeking me and you will receive that joy. It will be deposited into you and it will work for you that healing that you need and that you desire, says the Lord. You've come to a place in your life where you must make a decision. And in your heart, I've been releasing to you the decision you need to make. But it seems difficult. It seems like a hard thing to choose. There are many factors involved that would seem to make it difficult for you to make the decision that I want you to make. But you need to know that following me in the way that I'm leading in what I want you to do is going to take you further into my will for you. Many times people set out in their life and it's like a journey. And they want to do what's right before me. And I honor and respect that attitude of the heart. And there are many times when they go off in a wrong direction believing that it's truly me. And whatever they do for me, when their heart is right before me, I will honor that because I honor my word. And I will work within what they do when they do it in line with my word. Because I always bless my word. But I would say to you, it's like you're on a road. And you're coming to a curve in that road. And if you were driving, that curve, it's like you're on a road on a mountain. And the roads on a mountain curve around that mountain. to go up it and then back down it. And it's like you're on that road and you're headed toward a curve. You can't see what's on the other side of that curve, but I can. And what's on the other side of that curve is a roadblock. It's a roadblock to your progress. Right now you can't see it. There's beautiful scenery. Fresh air. It's gorgeous. Everything seems to be okay. But once you begin making that turn, as that road begins to curve, it will continue to curve. And once you have come completely around that curve, which represents a process of time, you're going to see ahead of you a roadblock. And this roadblock is a roadblock to your progress in me. But just like when you're driving on a mountain, if you were to encounter a roadblock, there are places on those mountain roads where it is almost impossible to turn around and go back. And you have to pull forward and back up and pull forward and back up the whole time, being ever so cautious that your tires don't go off the road or that you don't hit the rock on the side of the mountain. And it can be very, very difficult, especially if you're in a large vehicle. Well, likewise, you're headed toward that curve, and on the other side of that curve, there is a roadblock to your progress in me. Now, if you reach that roadblock, it's going to be very difficult for you to turn around and get back on track. You can do it, and you will do it, but it's going to cost you a lot of time. Going to cost you time that could have been used to make more progress into what I've called you to do. And so I'm saying now, spend time with me and listen closely to what I have to say. As you are now enjoying the ride, there is a block in your path. And I'm not going to remove it. Because if I remove it, you will head into disaster in your calling. Disaster into your life. Things will completely fall apart. And it won't be good for you. I did not put the roadblock there. It's work of man, inspired by the work of the enemy. The roadblock is not sin. The roadblock is circumstances. So hear what I have to say. Listen closely to this. That roadblock is, it's going to take you some time to get there. And that's why if you delay your decision in following what I'm telling you to do, it's going to seem like that there is no roadblock. Because you are weeks and weeks and weeks away from actually encountering it. But you have plenty of time to make the choice that I'm leading you to make. And if you do, you're going to be on a road, a path that is filled with my glory. There are a lot of things that you've read about in my word, a lot of things that you've prayed about that you felt like that I have said to you that have to do with my anointing, with my glory, and with my power. And I'm telling you, that anointing and glory and power, those things that you've sensed that I said to you don't exist in the direction where you're headed. So spend time with me. Listen closely to what I have to say to you. Just do what I'm telling you to do, even though right now it may not look like you need to. But I'm saying this to you to help you avoid a lot of heartache and a lot of struggles that that definitely will come when you hit this block. So if you heed my words and do what I say, it is going to accelerate the fulfillment of my will in your life. It is going to accelerate your progress in me. And I'll begin to work some works in you and through you that you've been hoping for a long, long time. So I'm sharing this with you tonight because I love you. And because if I don't share this with you, no one else will. Because no one else has this knowledge. Remember this. No matter how much good you do, there are some people you're never going to be able to help. So heed what I say and know this. No matter how hard it might be for you to make the decision that you're facing, that I will lay on your heart and have spoken to you about, no matter how hard this may be, know this. No matter how much of my love you've experienced to this point, if you do what I'm saying, you are going to experience a dimension of my love you've never known. And I am going to be able to envelop you in my presence in a way I've never been able to do. And it will all be because you're walking directly into my glory, says the Lord. Judgment needs to begin in my house, for I've already judged that which is sin and that which is not. And in my church, my body, you are to judge, but you are also to restore. And on that final day, I will be judging the sin, but I will also be judging those in my body who have refused to restore their fallen brothers and sisters. So hear me now, says the Lord. Press into me and into a place where you will be able to be used by me to restore those who have fallen back in close relationship and fellowship with me. For if you do not do this, if you do not care to do this, if you just dismiss those that have fallen as hopeless and worthless and without having any need for attention, I will hold you just as accountable as those who have sinned. So listen closely to these things that I am sharing with you. Listen closely to these words that are coming forth. Receive from my word. Grow in me. And let me use you as an instrument of restoration and reconciliation, says the Lord. The Lord says that healing is a reality that can manifest in the body of every believer. The struggles with the physical are based upon how much you truly believe my word. The question is not your love. The question is how much you believe my word. For I've given you an example in my word of the man that looked to my son and said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Likewise, there are many who should approach me when seeking for a manifestation of healing and simply say, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And allow me to begin to work in them to help them in the area of their unbelief. Because it is not my will for a sickness or an affliction to remain in your body. It is my will for healing to manifest. So come to me, stay in my word, fellowship with my spirit, remain in my presence, and let the truth of my word sink deep roots into your spirit to produce the fruit of healing for your body, says the Lord. For there are many in my body who are continually waiting on me to move in their life. And yet I would say to you, I am waiting for you to move into my presence. Well, you see, in my word I have said that if you seek me, you will find me. Therefore, if you are not seeking, why would you expect to find? In my word I have said to come boldly before my throne of grace. And yet if you do not come before my throne of grace, why would you think to find me? Too many in my body of Christ, my church, my true church of God, too many in the fullness of all redemption are looking for me to move, and yet they do not approach me. But I say to you this night, if you will come to me and seek me, if you will come into my presence, if you will approach me with worship in your heart and praise on your lips, you will find me. You will experience my presence. For I am not withdrawing. I am always available. And as you begin to seek me, and as you begin to approach me, not only will you find me, but you will hear me. And you will receive from me direction. You will receive answers to questions that you've had in your heart for so long. You'll also receive from me a touch. You will receive from me everything that I have to offer to you. But if you do not seek me, you will not experience me. For you see, I do not violate the will of the individual, but I do honor the choice that comes from that will. So when you willingly choose to seek me and willingly choose to set your face upon me, when you willingly choose to worship me, to praise me, I will respond. And I will meet you where you are. And I will move in your life. And I will perform my will and my word and accomplish as much as you allow me to accomplish, says the Lord. The Lord says you've been intimidated and you're afraid to step out and do that which you know to do because you are still living according to the image other people have created of you for you and the image that you have created of you for yourself. And I say unto you, your concern is not to be what man thinks. Your concern simply is to be what I think, what I desire, what I will do in you. Break out of your shell. Stop residing in a place where there is no direction. Break out of that fear. For I've not given this fear to you, and I've not given this apprehension to you. Break out of those things that are holding you back. I say to you this night, stop looking at yourself in the way that other people have defined you. Stop looking at yourself in the way that you have let Satan deceive you into thinking about yourself. Start looking at you the way I look at you. Start thinking about you the way I think about you. Many times you have allowed the giftings within you to be restrained and held back because you were afraid. Because you are fearful that you might fail. You are fearful that you might not be able to do what I want you to do. You are so afraid that you would fail me. You're more worried about failing me than you are pleasing me. You're more concerned about not measuring up than you are that I see you measuring up. In fact, Your eyes are more on you than they are on me. It is not you in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And may I say it to you this way. It is Christ in you, the hope of success. It is Christ in you, the hope of pleasing me. It is Christ in you, the hope of accomplishing all that I have set before you. Do not live the rest of your life in the box of failure that you have allowed others and the devil to build for you. Start seeing yourself as one who shares in the victory of Jesus Christ. Start seeing yourself as being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Stop allowing yourself to be intimidated by the thoughts and feelings of others. I challenge you this night, start intimidating the devil with the boldness of your righteousness. Step out and don't be afraid. Step out and don't be riddled with fear. Step out in obedience to me and you will see what I can do through you, says the Lord.
There is great error in my church pertaining to what is taught about prosperity. There are two areas of extreme, and both are wrong. But there are people who hold to one extreme or another. They make such teachings sound so good and acceptable that many others swing in one direction or the other. One extreme is in the area of great wealth. Scriptures are used inappropriately to teach that I am going to pour out great amounts of money and possessions to those who faithfully give offerings and demonstrate their faith in their giving. But nowhere in my word did I say all of my children are destined for the incredible wealth so often preached. If you leave my word in context, you will see that this is true. You have also been taught that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, and that this means the wealth of sinners is going to be transferred to Christians. This is so wrong. I have never stolen from anyone and never will. Mark it down. I will not take wealth from the lost and give it to you. What if the lost become born again? I would have to transfer wealth back to them. If you apply scriptural principles to your life, you can increase in both your finances and material things. But I am not going to cause anyone to become wealthy aside from the principles of my word. Far too many of my children are hoping for an increase and change in their financial status, but they are not applying my word. If you are not applying my word, you will not see me move. If you look around you, all of the people who are rich in this world by legal means have gained their wealth through hard work, diligence to their responsibilities, advancement in their education, and perseverance. Even those who apply my word do not receive money and material things from nowhere. I can give you direction and supernatural wisdom, and through those things you can increase, but I will not cause you to increase out of the blue. Too many of my children are expecting supernatural increase, which really means they want increase with no responsibility. They want increase without any effort on their part. They want increase without spiritual maturity. In other words, they want me to bless their laziness just because they pray and ask, give in offerings, or claim to trust me by faith. The other extreme is what some have called a poverty doctrine. In this teaching, you are told that Christians should be humble and not have much. But again, there is nothing in my word which says such a thing. I want you to have wealth, but to have it for the purpose of expanding my kingdom and accomplishing my purposes. One way teachers of this poverty doctrine support their error is to point to my son Jesus. They say that Jesus had nothing and is the example we are to follow. But they have no idea about what they are saying. My son had much, and my word proves it. Does not my word say that there were many people, including many women, who gave to him out of their substance? Does not my word say that my son had a money bag? Read my word very carefully and note that my son was entertained often by wealthy people. He did not lack. He was greatly blessed. If I had called my son to stay in one place and not travel, he would have had a place that was well able to accommodate all I had called him to do. You see, my provision is in accordance with my word and my will for each person. The only way you will ever achieve balance in your life, accuracy in your doctrine, and clear understanding of my word is to meditate in a contextual fashion and allow my Holy Spirit to guide and teach you. Without this, you are setting yourself up to be led astray, says the Lord.
For I pour my glory out through those vessels who have been prepared to receive it. For I've said that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What this means is that for every one of my children, you have the hope of manifested glory in your life. The vessels that are prepared for this glory are those which prepare themselves. For just like my son said, you must be cautious about the wine that you pour into the bottles. The bottles must be ready to contain that wine or they will burst. Likewise, my glory is just not arbitrarily poured out into and through anyone. My glory can be released during a time of praise and worship, and it can be experienced in that way. But for my glory to fill and flow through a vessel, that vessel must be prepared to be a container of my glory. And that preparation time comes through your own efforts to mature spiritually. I do not prepare the vessel. It is your vessel. You must prepare it. But as you spend time in my presence and seek me with all your heart, you will be conditioning yourself to receive greater and greater levels of my glory. And it is through you that my glory will be released. For you see, it is through your hands that I will manifest healing. It is through you that my glory will be released. If you desire to see a great outpouring of my glory, you can have it. You can have as much as you can hold. And I will continue to pour out more and more glory into every vessel that is prepared to hold it. So I say to you that you, all of you, every person that would hear this, every one of my children, you are a chosen vessel for my glory. But you must make yourself habitable for my glory through your spiritual growth. And the more you grow and the more you mature in me is the more of my glory that I will be able to release into you. So know this, I am not excluding you. I have not left you out. And my plans are not to hold you aside and to withdraw and keep my glory from you. My desire is to see you grow in me and become a vessel that is thick spiritually and able to hold and contain massive amounts of my glory so that it can be released into this world in great demonstrations of my power, my presence, and my love, says the Lord.
My word is the key to everything you will ever need in life. Contained in my word are keys to unlocking the mystery of everything you do not understand in my word. Each key you discover will unlock a door to the storeroom which holds everything contained in a passage or verse. Within that room will be another key to unlock the door to yet another storeroom. This process will be repeated over and over throughout your life. Just like a key in the natural has various cuts of differing depths, my word has keys of differing depths. In the natural, you can never open a door unless the entire key is put into the lock. In the spirit, the same is true. Many people are trying to unlock the understanding of portions of my word with partial keys. When they do not spend enough time in my word to get the rest of the key, they often try to force the key into the lock. What this means is that they create their own understanding of Scripture instead of receiving truth. When this happens, the storeroom remains closed and locked. When leaders in the church do not possess an entire key and cannot open a storeroom, they pass that key on to others and the door remains locked for all. None will ever enter until someone properly uses the keys they have to unlock room after room for the full understanding. My word contains the fullness of my kingdom. In my word is the revelation of kingdom operation and living in the world. Flesh and blood can never unlock the storerooms of kingdom revelation. Flesh and blood can never unlock the storerooms of kingdom understanding. For all of this is contained in my word. The keys to the kingdom are in my word. You will never be able to live in the fullness of the kingdom until you have unlocked the storerooms of understanding and revelation. You will never be able to unlock these storerooms without the keys. The entire process begins with my son, and you have an example in my word. I will give you an example you can relate to today. So many of my children believe and teach that divine healing is not for today. The reason they teach this is because they have never used what keys they have to unlock the storerooms leading up to the storeroom of revelation, knowledge, and understanding about divine healing. Until they do, they will not believe in divine healing. All of this I am sharing with you is not new, for it is revealed in Isaiah chapter 28. The understanding of one line leads to the understanding of another. The understanding of one precept leads to the understanding of another. Each line and precept can be called a key. My life in you gives you the capacity to understand each line and each precept. A key to understanding the lines and precepts so as to unlock the meaning of succeeding lines and precepts is in verse 11. My servant Paul helped explain verse 11 in what you have as 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He explained that the stammering lips of praying in tongues leads to your progress and understanding. Did he not write that when you pray in tongues, you are praying mysteries? Did my son not say in Matthew 16:17 that flesh and blood does not give divine revelation? And did I not say in verse 11 that it is through these stammering lips that I will speak to you? Think again of my word as keys. Each verse and chapter represents the cuts of varying depths in a key. Each book represents the cuts of varying depths in a key. When you meditate in my word and pray in the Spirit, I will help you arrange the keys in their proper order. I will help you put them in the locks and open the storerooms of revelation and understanding. I will lead you into each storeroom and explain all that is in it. Once you are in a storeroom, you will have access to all it contains. There are storerooms of healing, provision, miracles, and many other things. But the greatest thing contained in each storeroom is the knowledge and clear understanding of my kingdom. You have a saying in the natural that knowledge is wealth. The same is true in the spirit. Spiritual knowledge and understanding produces spiritual wealth. Along with the revelation and understanding of my kingdom, each storeroom contains greater and greater amounts of my glory and presence. As my son said, I have given to you the keys of my kingdom. Those keys are contained in my word. They will unlock everything you ever need. So be encouraged to meditate in my word and pray in the spirit. The things you have not understood are available to you now. You do not have to continue living with questions and confusion. Come to me and let me reveal myself to you. Let me show you all that I am to you. Let me show you all that you are in me. If you do, my glory shall fill your life, says the Lord. Through your worship, you create a habitation for my presence. Through your worship, you open up a dimension of the Spirit wherein my glory is released. Through your worship, you open up the door for miracles. Through your worship, you open up the door for me to take up a seat in your presence, to dwell in your midst, to touch you with my compassion and my grace. Through your worship, you enter into the divine. For a heart that pours out its love and affection to me is a heart with which I fellowship, says the Lord.
The Lord says, it was the power of my word and the word of my power which brought this world into existence. You have yet to see what my word can accomplish. You have yet to see the changes that my word can bring about. You see, my word and its power has not been released in great measure for many, many years. In fact, it has been generation after generation after generation that has weakened my word through unbelief. And yet in this last day, there is rising up a remnant within my church that is coming to the place of understanding my word like never before and understanding the power of my word. And I am saying that you are even now beginning to see a release of my word unlike anything that has been seen to this date since the book of Acts. You are beginning to see a return to the foundation of my word, a return to the truth that has been lost upon so much of my church. You are beginning to see even now a release of the power of my word into this world, and things are going to happen. Mighty and great things are going to happen in this world because there are people who are coming to a place of believing my word and believing in my word that I have not seen in this world for many, many generations. So I say, prepare yourself now for what is about to take place. For you are going to see signs and wonders and miracles and demonstrations of my power that will absolutely defy the religious mind and the science of this world. The day is coming where I will be known in this world and no one will be without excuse, says the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord said there is never confusion in a church service that is ordained of me. He says the confusion that arises in church services arises because men get their eyes off me and onto themselves and onto what they think they should be doing. You've been exposed to confusion in the past, and it's not of me. And yet, those in my church have been held accountable for this confusion, and so have I. And I have been lumped together with those who get out of order. And people have said, if this is God, then I don't want anything to do with it. And yet I would say to you, I have examined your heart. And it's not so much about the confusion that you've experienced as it is, you haven't opened your heart for me to touch you. Now I want you to know that I love you. And I love you more than you'll ever know and ever be able to experience. This life is lived in a way to where you'll never understand the fullness of my love for you. And I want you to know that if you will study my word, study it intently, study very closely what I have said in my word and what my word reveals, you are going to discover that at times when my people came together, there were scenes of what this world would call disorder. There were scenes of what the religious world today would call confusion. For even my son ministered at times that in churches today they would say it is out of order and it is creating confusion. But I want you to know that I do not create confusion. The only thing that I create is order because I am a God of order. It's just that my order and the way that I move at times in your church services goes beyond what man has defined as a church service. So I would say to you this day, let me speak to you. Look beyond the things that you've seen of man. Let me speak to you. Let me minister to you and let me minister to your heart. For I will take you into the depths of my spirit and I will reveal to you those things which are genuine and those things which are real, those things which truly come of me. For again, I say to you, I do not author confusion in church services, but what I will author is my anointing. And when my anointing is released, it confounds the religious mind because the religious mind does not know what to do with my anointing. So come to me and let me minister to you. Let me speak to you. Let me touch your heart. And I can take you into a place of safety and security in me to where you will know the difference between man's contrived religion and a true move of my spirit. So trust me this day, says the Lord. Trust me, and I will reveal to you the fullness of who I am. For in my word I have said not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season.
shall reap if you faint not. There are those who have become frustrated in their walk with me. Not frustrated with me, but in their minds, they think, I have prayed, and I have read the Bible, I have confessed Scripture, I have done things, and yet I'm not seeing the results. And the Lord says, I would like to draw your attention to the natural. In the natural, you never know when it is that a cold virus attacks your body. And it's not until that virus has had a time to live in your body and multiply itself many times over that you begin to feel the symptoms of that cold. For you see, by the time that you feel the symptoms of that cold, that virus has been in your body for a period of time. Likewise, when you're praying and you're worshiping, you do not feel the work that my Holy Spirit is doing in you. But the entire time that you're praying, praying in the Spirit, my Holy Spirit is releasing His anointing, His words, teaching, direction, my will, answers to prayers, many, many things. He is releasing all of that into you, but you don't feel it. And because you're not consciously aware of it, you can begin to become frustrated and wondering, where are the answers? Where is this change? Where are the results that I've heard about? But I would say to you tonight, do not become frustrated. Do not become weary, because my Spirit is releasing into your spirit the things that line up with my perfect will. So I would encourage you this night, don't stop praying. Even though you don't feel results at this time, the results will come. And by the time you see the outward manifestation of the change, it will mean that the deposit from my Spirit has been taking place in your spirit for quite a period of time. So I would encourage you, I am seeing from my throne those things which are being released in you, and I want you to know that if you will continue to pray, you will continue to allow me to release into you all of those things that line up with my perfect will, and you will begin to walk in my wisdom. You will begin to walk in a greater anointing. You will begin to walk in an understanding of my perfect will for your life. All of these things and much, much more will take place in your life. So be encouraged this night. Don't be frustrated. And don't allow feelings of frustration to overcome you and cause you to stop. Persevere. Press in. Keep fighting. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep spending that time with me. For I say to you this night, if you will do this, you will see the results. The day will come and you will start to see the change that I see is taking place in you right this minute. The Lord says it has been many, many years since that day when I was born. It was a night. It was similar to what you sing. It was a quiet birth. Yes, the announcement was made to the shepherds by the angels, but it was a quiet birth. The world didn't know that I had been born that night, and the world didn't receive what I had done. Many rejected me. And so the first time that I came, it was quiet, without tremendous fanfare. But I want you to know the days are short. I'm coming back. And the next time I come, it will not be quiet. It will be with a shout that this world will hear, that this world will see. For I will return in my glory and in my power. And my kingdom shall be established in this world in the most literal sense you can imagine. For I am the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords. And I shall reign triumphant throughout eternity, says the Lord.
The Lord says, for it's in this atmosphere of worship that it's much easier for most of my children to receive from me. For it's in a time of worship like this, when your focus is directed to me, that I am able to minister to you. When barriers have been removed, the distractions of your mind have been set aside, the emotions of the day have been laid aside, and you focus completely and totally upon me, I then have a freedom to move in your life that otherwise I wouldn't. And I say to you that you can create this same atmosphere when you're at home, that you don't have to be in this church, that if you will create that habitation for my presence through your worship, that you will experience me, and you will experience me in a powerful way, and you'll hear me speak, and you'll feel my touch, you'll know my peace, and you'll know my joy. For I love you, says the Lord. I love you beyond all measure, and it is my desire, the longing of my heart, to spend times of fellowship like this with you. So open your heart and worship me and know my presence, know my peace, know my love, know what I can do for you, says the Lord. For there is a place of holy reverence before my throne. In the natural, to some, it would seem as though there is nothing happening. But to those who would enter in, it is a place of holy reverence. Holy reverence before my throne. But it is also a place of great protection. For when you enter into a place like this, you have entered into a fortress of glory. It is a place where your enemy cannot enter. It is a place where you are protected divinely. It is a place where you can experience the depths of who I really am. And I am love. When you enter this place, I can take you into my arms. And I can minister my love to you in a very special way. And when you walk away from this place of reverence, you can walk away refreshed, renewed, with a new sense of my presence in your life. And these times of reverence before me are not simply a divine, sovereign move that I exercise. For you see, my throne never moves. And I am always here for you. You can enter into this place any time that you desire. For have I not said that you can come boldly before my throne of grace? You can create an atmosphere of this kind of reverence and this kind of holiness in your own home. When you do this, and when you do it enough, you can begin to experience my lingering presence in your home. And I would say to you this night that for many of my children, so many of their problems that they're experiencing at home would be solved simply by creating this atmosphere and doing it to the point
that my lingering presence dwells. And when this happens, it can bring about conviction to those who have strayed from me or who do not know me. And it can come to the place where, if you continually frequent my throne, that you will actually be able to carry my lingering presence with you wherever you go. Some would call this an anointing. And that indeed is what it is. But I want you to think in personal terms. For too many in my church look at that word anointing, and to them, it really doesn't have a personal feel to it. And so I would say that by seeking my face and dwelling in this place of reverence, you can eventually begin to carry with you my lingering presence wherever you go. And this is one of the greatest ways to be a witness for me. For my lingering presence on you will draw people to my Son. So create times like this in your home, and your home can be filled with my glory. Your home can become not a place of turmoil and strife, but a haven of my rest. And I would say to you that this is one of the most powerful weapons that you could use against the enemy, creating an atmosphere of my lingering presence. So if you do this, you will experience what I have promised, says the Lord. There are many in my body, my church, that have cried out for me to do a new thing. There are many that have prophesied for me to do a new thing, that I'm doing a new thing, that a new thing is coming. But I would have you know that I never change. For even in my word, I have declared that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so much of what you have called a new thing is really not so much a new thing to me as it is new to you. For you see, the potential for me to move in great glory and power has always existed. None of that has ever changed, nor will it ever change. The difference is where you come to a place in me to experience that which already exists. So when many people are saying that the Lord is getting ready to do a new thing, what you need to understand is that I recognize there are those who are pressing deeper into a place in me to where they can experience something that to them is very, very new. I am preparing to move. And you would say that it is in a new way. But I want you to know that my glory has never changed. From before the foundation of the world, my glory has always been the same. For you cannot separate my glory from me. And so I would have you know this day
that there is coming a release of glory that many in the church would say is new. That many in the church would say that I am moving in a new way. And it's not so much that I'm moving in a new way, something new to me, as it is those in my church are pressing into a place to experience a realm of glory that has existed from before the foundations of the world. So know this day, that if you will continue to seek me and go deeper into me, you will experience new things. Things that have been waiting for you year after year after year and are still there waiting. And when I say to you that there is no limit to the newness that you will be able to experience, please believe me. Because there is so much of me that you have never experienced. The deeper you go, the more you will experience, and you will exclaim to others, I've experienced something new in God. God has moved in a new way. And I will sit back and I will smile in my pleasure in what you have done. Pressed into a place in me to experience something in me that you've never experienced. For I long to reveal to you those things in me that you do not yet know. So continue pressing into me and continue to experience more and more of what you call new. It is my joy to give these things to you, says the Lord.